All right, we want to praise the Lord on this May the 3rd, Wednesday night. We're in the book of Ephesians. Tonight we finished up the book of Acts, and Ephesians has been called the Grand Canyon of the Bible. Very, very well written, very good doctrine set forth in the book of Ephesians. And the doctrine of the Ephesian epistle confirms this view. It contains the highest church truth, but has nothing about church order. The church here is the true church, His body, not the local church, as in Philippians, Corinthians. And three lines of truth make up this epistle. The believer's exalted position through grace, the truth concerning the body of Christ, and a walk in accordance with that position. And I like this book of Ephesians. It's easy to understand. It's not hard to teach at all. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we get in our lesson tonight. And we want to remember those that would like to be here, health reasons, and other reasons can't be here. I seen Sister Rita and her husband Joe when we was coming up here.
Yeah, I did too.
But I was thinking about Sister Joanne. I believe she'd be here tonight if she could. Want to pray for our two young deacons.
Yes.
That we just ordained. And I'm pretty excited about having them. I remember one pastor said he'd like to have 100 deacons. And he said he didn't want to pass nothing unless they all agreed on it. He said that safeguarded him. Mm-hmm. I don't know how in the world you could get 100 people to agree on anything. I think that's what his objective was. But anyway, when he passed away, they had $21 million in the bank. So he'd been pretty good in the work.
That's right.
That church, they supported a lot of missionaries. They were mission-minded. But we want to go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Father, be in your house tonight. We thank you, Father, for the mercy and the grace been so abundantly shed about us. So abundantly shed about upon us through your Son Jesus, going to Calvary, shedding his blood, Lord, giving his life a sacrifice for all, giving his life a ransom for all. Lord, we pray, dear God, tonight for those out there that might be listening tonight lost. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move upon them and cause them to consider the great love that God has for them. Cause them to consider, Lord, His mercy and long-suffering compassion. Lord, I pray that they would quit holding out. I pray they'd run to Him and give their heart to Him and find that joy and find that peace. Lord, we pray, God, tonight for those, Lord, that are here tonight. We thank you for Brother Donnie here tonight, Brother Ed. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you being here tonight. We've got two or three. That's all it takes.
Yes.
You said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, you said, Lord, I'm in the midst. So we know you're here.
Amen.
But I pray, Father, Lord, tonight for those that would like to be here, but their health, Lord, is holding them from coming. Pray for Sister Joanne Smith. I pray for Denny and Sue Bone. I pray, dear Lord, Brother Mitchell, Sister Phyllis. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Lord Miranda and Mark, Caden and Tavian, for Larry and Lord, for Carol, for Serenity and Leroy. Oh, it's a real blessing, Lord, have Leroy here Sunday morning, Sunday night. Real blessing. Thank you, Lord, for our new deacons. Thank you for that service, Lord, where we ordained them deacons. Thank you for Brother Ed, Brother James helping us, Lord, that night. What a blessing, Lord, that was.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray for all of our church members. And all those, Father, that love the Lord, those, Lord, looking to your appearing, we pray for all of them, Lord. Pray you help this country, Lord, turn its heart back to God. We'd like to see America back in good standing with the Lord. Help us even tonight, Lord, to be reminded, Lord, that in an hour we think not, you're coming. And I would to God you would come tonight. I could sure do some rejoicing. We ask these things and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I seen something kind of strange this morning on the news, watching a little bit of news this morning after I read my Bible. And they said the biggest...
Hi, Lynn.
They said the biggest threat right now to life, it's not drugs, not alcohol, not substance abuse, but it's loneliness. And that caught me off guard that people are suffering from loneliness, said they was committing suicide and doing unthinkable things, just lonely.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, and I thought the Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I thought, well, what a blessing it is to walk with the Lord and to know the Lord personally, have good fellowship with Him. But I can just see how people could be consumed by loneliness if they don't know the Lord. And I thought about that, boy, it'd be a terrible thing to deal with, be lonely, wonder, you know, where everybody's at, why nobody cares. The Bible tells us to cast all our care upon Jesus.
Yes.
For He cares for us, so Jesus cares. I remember hearing a story, a sad story, supposed to be a true story, told by one of the old evangelists about a young girl that took a gun and shot herself in the head, and as people gathered around her, as she lay there dying, an old white-headed preacher made his way through the crowd and knelt down there and started weeping and said, "Honey, why'd you do it?" She said, "Nobody cares about me, preacher." He said, "Well, honey, I know your mother cares about you." She said, "Well, she never showed it." Then she said, he said, "Honey, I know your father cares about you." She said, "Well, he never showed it." Then she said, he said, I know your brothers and sisters care about you." And she said, "Well, they never showed it." And then the preacher said, "Honey, I care about you." And she said, "Preacher, you never showed it." But, I mean, she had him pinned to the mat.
Sorry.
And then he said, "Honey, Jesus loves you." But there wasn't a word on that. There wasn't no way to say Jesus had never showed that He cares. Boy, I'm glad He wasn't ashamed to call us brethren. He came to where we were, done what we couldn't do, left us with the blessing of God.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul here says so much in that one verse. He's an apostle, not by his doing, but by the will of God. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. To be an apostle, you had to either be baptized by John the Baptist or you had to see Jesus personally.
Yeah, that's right.
And Paul talked about being born at a due time. He got to see the Lord and was able to become apostle by the will of God here. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing this epistle to church people. He says, grace be to you. And I thank God for grace. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. You know, he said so much there in two verses. It's amazing how he could frame these words. I hear some of our politicians talking today and they give word salad and they don't mean nothing. They don't say nothing.
No.
But Paul here says so much with so few words here. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, when you walk with the Lord and know the Lord personally, you can put things like Paul did here together. You know, when you think about these three verses here, He walking in the close fellowship with the Lord. His words speak volumes about His walk with God. I mean, when He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, I mean, but he laid on it pretty thick.
Yeah.
And he said, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, if you do love the Lord, and you should, then you will strive to be holy and without blame. You know, my wife, I love her, and I've always tried to be somewhat of a husband, you know, to my wife.
Yes.
But love was a motivation. I mean, if I didn't love her, I wouldn't even go home. If I didn't love her, well, she's bedfast now. I wouldn't be cooking her breakfast. I wouldn't be getting her something to eat and
right.
emptying her potty and getting her things that she asked me to get her, doing things she asked me to do. Love is the best motivation.
Amen.
If you love someone or something, it'll occupy some of your time, some of your efforts. But here he said we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us, that predestinated word is one that's misconstrued a lot. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself. You see, I'm a child of God, and it was God's will for me to be a child of God. He made the means for me to be a child of God, and the reason I am a child of God is because I acted on that opportunity. God wants the whole world to be saved. You can see that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's Donnie's favorite word. In other words, that means you can put your name right there. Mm-hmm. That whosoever would believe him would have everlasting life. God made opportunity, he made everything possible for us to be children of God.
Yes.
And it was in the mind of God before Christ was ever born into this world that he would come and give his life payment for our sins. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. God wanted us to be saved. He's not going to make nobody get saved, mm-hmm. but he's made it possible that all can be saved.
Amen.
Anybody that goes to hell, they go of their own free will, their own accord. They say no to God. They turn down the Holy Spirit's witness and conviction. And I have seen some stubborn people.
Yes.
I was telling Donnie today that when I was a young child living with my mother and father, I said a word one day and I don't even know what I said. I just remember mama took me to the bathroom, washed my mouth out with soap, and whatever it was I did say, next time I thought about saying that word, I got to tasting soap. And you know, stubborn, that took care of that. That was a determinant for me saying that word. I did not say that word anymore. She let me know that was going to come with a price.
Yeah.
But God's will is for all to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9, says God's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come repentance. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God's made it possible where everyone can be saved, and everybody doesn't get saved. That's not God's fault. Jesus Christ died for all, gave his life a ransom for all, and anybody that turns that down, they deserve the hottest place in hell. Like I said, we got some stubborn people down here. They'll go any way but God's way. They wrestle the scriptures trying to find some kind of fault in the Word of God. They try to find some kind of fault in the church, and there's plenty of fault in the church. That ain't hard to do.
No.
But I'll tell you one thing, you can't find no fault in Jesus.
That's right.
And they try to, but there ain't none. Pilate examined him with the most thorough examination. He said, I find no fault in him. And there wasn't one.
Mm-mm.
But the Lord here predestinated us. Some people says, you know, this is the this is well, I can't think of the name of it now. I almost said it before I lost my thought. I almost said it again. Tulip, what is that? Where they think only certain people will be saved. I can't think of what.
Preordained?
What is it?
Preordained?
No, it's...
Don't you believe, though, that God knows exactly how many will be saved and how many won't?
I'll say it like this. All can be saved.
All can be, yes.
All are loved. Jesus said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise turn away.
That's right.
And you know, the problem's not on God's end, the problem's on our end. He's made the provision.
But He knows everybody's move. He knows what we're going to do before we do it.
Well, He made this optional. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Right.
And then if that wasn't enough, He mentioned in John 5:40, He said, ye will not come to me that you may have life. There's two verses there that kind of pin us to the mat on the problem. And the problem is, we'll go, you know, the Bible says we love darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
And that's so true. Man loves sin. And salvation is a decision. Salvation is... gift of God through His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody don't believe. Everybody don't repent. Everybody should, everybody can, but everybody don't. And, well, I almost said it again. That's why I'm tipping my tongue. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see, I wasn't in the family of God until I repented and received Jesus. And by repenting and receiving Jesus, now I'm accepted in the beloved. He's my Father now.
Right.
And I'm His Son now. I can pray to Him now through Christ. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, a lot of people, they don't want nothing to do with the blood. I mentioned about my pastor doing a revival at a church, and he's a pretty smart man. He already knew that they took the blood out of song books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And he already knew that they had removed the songs about the blood out of their song books. Being the wise man that he is, first night of revival, I was there with him. He said, I'd like to request we sing three songs about the blood. And their faces got about as red as Ed's shirt over there. And they went back there in the back, brought them out, and they sung three songs about the blood. And they had revival there, but here we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Hebrews mentions that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Cain, he didn't bring no blood, and he wasn't received, and he got big and mad. You can get mad all you want to.
That's right.
God's already made provision through the blood. I do like my new Bible, but I like the other one. It had more color to it. But in the, here it is, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood is no remission. God requires the blood. In Romans chapter 3, he mentions where he made provision through the blood. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It's all about the blood. And this redemption mentioned in verse 7 is through the blood of Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus, somebody said, how did I get that blood? Well, I know how I got it. I asked for forgiveness.
That's right.
And God, in mercy, forgave me and then paid for my sins with the blood of Jesus. I didn't see the payment, but I can tell you this, I received the peace of God and the joy of being saved because of the blood. I'm telling you, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I was guilty. I was condemned. I had condemnation. I had guilt. But I had that no more when I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin and save my soul. And the way he does it, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. When your sins have been forgiven, you have peace. Mm-hmm. When your sins have not been forgiven, you have guilt and condemnation. And it's wonderful to get your sins forgiven. Man, I have to admit, I felt pretty good. I wish I could go through it again.
When I got saved, it was by that last word in that verse. That,
yeah.
The very last word, grace.
Yeah.
By his grace.
God showed his grace.
Yes, he did.
Through his son. His son shed his blood. God accepted that blood. That's why Jesus went into heaven itself.
That's right.
And presented his blood, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. And that blood went on the mercy seat.
Yes.
And it was accepted and it was a done deal when Jesus took his blood into the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Now these priests, they were going through what would be a type of redemption. But it didn't last. It lasted for a little while. Then they had to do it again. Well, Jesus made this offering once and forever.
That's right.
I don't have to do any more of that. I do sometimes rededicate. I have went in sin, said, Lord, I'm sorry. Won't you forgive me?
Yeah.
And we'll confess our sin. He's faithful and just forgive us our sin. You can go however you want to go there, but I like to stay clean. Amen. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if we love him, we will. We should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 4 there. But we have this redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, man, they really do think they're smart. And the Bible tells us God winks at the wisdom of this world.
Aye.
Commands men everywhere to repent. There in Acts chapter 17. And I met some men that really, I like to buy them for what they was worth and sell them, buy them for what they thought they was worth, sell them for what they was worth.
Right.
Something like that. Buy them for what they was worth, sell them what they think they're worth. I'll get that right in a minute. But in Acts 17 verse 30, God winks at the ignorance of this world and commands men, all men everywhere to repent. And this wisdom here in verse number 8, God knew what was needed. God only could provide the sacrifice. Man would love to find a way to heaven apart from God. I think that's got something to do with all these spaceships they're sending up. I don't know. But man would like to find a way to get to heaven without God. God made the way, and God is the way, and man wants to go another way. And the Bible does mention twice in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Even though it looks good, smells good, it ain't good. Only God's way is accepted.
That's right.
Verse 9, having made known unto us, everything we know, God made known to us. I don't care whether you're a scientist, doctor,
through His Word.
God made known all knowledge. The Bible mentioned that He gave some, even in this book right here. Says here in chapter 4 that He gave some apostles. Where did they come from? He gave them. Mm-hmm. Some prophets. Where did they come from? God gave them. Some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Listen, all that pertains to the church. But God gave doctors. God gave medicine.
Yes.
I believe even cars. God gave everything we have in this life.
Yes.
God's given. But having made known this mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. God's will, mentioned here in verse number 9. I think I'm going to Luke. When the angel Gabriel come to announce the birth of Christ, he mentioned in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God's will toward you is good. I don't care how bad you are. God has still made provision. God's still giving you space to repent. His will. Mention here in verse 9, the mystery of His will. There's some people God loves it. I have a hard time loving.
We're in Ephesians.
I struggle.
Chapter 1, verse 9.
Yes.
If you want to follow along.
But God loves all to the same degree.
Yes.
He's no respecter of persons. He loves me just as much as He loves anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
And He loves anybody else besides me just as much as He loves me. God loves. Bible says God is love. We ought to love one another.
That's right.
I just hate to say this, but I saw in the news where some young kids was out spinning doing donuts up the road, and an adult come by and say, y'all need to cut that out, and they beat him unconscious. I don't know if he lived or not. I mean, he's down the ground pat. You know, knocked out, and they still kicking him and beating him, bleeding out his ears and eyes and mouth. But, well, you know, we ought to love one another.
Yes.
We don't, but we ought to. He says, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. God set this whole thing up.
Yes, He did.
I've just got, you know, I've got so little understanding about creation. I know some people think they got it all figured out. But the invisible things God created. The visible things He created. Things that haven't even been discovered yet, He created. And put man down here. I personally believe man ought to stay in touch with God. They don't want nothing to do with Him. But He has purposed in Himself to His good pleasure and the mystery of His will. he makes known unto us. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ which are on earth, even in him. That's kind of a hint about the Gentiles getting in. You see, he was the God of the Hebrews. And Hebrews, I don't know, they get the britches got too big. They didn't think they needed God. He showed them a little different.
Yeah, that's right.
And that lasted a little while, and then he showed them a little more different, and finally he brought us in. The Gentiles got in on the things of God. Now the Jews are God's chosen people, and I was a little bit jealous till I read that scripture there in the book of Galatians that said I was a spiritual seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
So I'm a spiritual Jew. I'm okay with that. Amen?
That's right.
But in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven. Did you get that? And which are on the earth, which are on earth, even in him. Christ is the bridge to heaven.
That's right.
And he made the way that we can all go to heaven. Again, we're talking about it in verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Again, that word predestinated. I don't know why. Anytime I'm trying to think of something, I can't never remember it. But there's a belief down here that only certain people are going to be saved and the rest are not going to get saved. And I can't think of the word right now. But this predestinated, mentioned in verse 11, also mentioned up in verse 5, this predestination is God had it in the plan in the fullness of time that the way would be made, that new and living way through His Son Jesus, according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God designed and God put this all together to where I could get saved, where I could be a citizen of heaven, where I could be born again. In whom we have obtained. The reason I obtained an inheritance is because of the predestination will of God that He determined His Son would come down here and die for the sins of the whole world. And he that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. That's pretty simple, but God designed every bit of this. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. I like the way that's worded. That we should be to the praise of His glory. I was talking to Sister Bessie today. We took up singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." As we're singing that song, it was to the praise of His glory. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little hoarse tonight, or we'd sing tonight. Here, that we should be to the praise of His glory. You see, that's optional. God doesn't make us, but we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. You know what? We ought to be all we can be for the one that gave His all for us. Mm-hmm. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I like that. Sealed.
Amen.
You know what?
Nobody can get to us.
Peter talked the devil about we're kept by God. We've never been able to keep nothing.
No.
I never lost so much stuff in my life.
Yeah, me too.
But here, God not only saved me, but He sealed me with His Holy Spirit promise, and I'm kept by God. A lot of people, I feel sorry for them. Mm-hmm. That they think they can keep their self saved. And I don't have no axe to grind here tonight. But listen to this verse here in the book of Jude. Jude's only got one chapter. Verse 24, "Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion," and I ain't talking about voting machines, "and power both now and ever. Amen." He's able to keep us. Peter says we're kept by God.
Until the day of redemption, isn't it?
It says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." We're kept by God. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I put some bacon in the refrigerator this morning. It was left over when I fixed my wife breakfast. I put that in a Ziploc bag. And it's got a thing at the top of it. I put my thumb in it down there and it sealed that bag. I could turn it upside down and that bacon wouldn't fall out.
Right.
Well, I'm sealed. And I won't fall out. And I didn't seal me. He sealed me. Ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'm not my own. Been bought with a price.
Right.
He paid top dollar for a worthless sinner like me.
Yes, Lord.
Verse 14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance." Now, I haven't never seen heaven, but I got it through inheritance. I inherited a home in heaven. I inherited streets of gold. I inherited this blessed place, Beulah Land. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know, these verses say so much, there's no way to bring it out. I mean, just that verse right there, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." I told you, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. He purchased me. I'm His possession now. And it's to the praise of His glory. I can only imagine when I get to heaven that Jesus is going to say, "Y'all ain't going to believe what I had to give for Eddie over there. How I had to work to get him to repent."
Yeah.
"And how I had to put up with him all those years, but it was worth it." You know,
that's right.
Like I said, this verse says so much I can't even bring it out. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory."
Amanda said, "You're sealed."
Yeah.
Amen.
That's true, Amanda.
That's right.
Let me see if I can find this scripture in Revelation. I don't know if I can or not, but if I can, I'll share it with you. If I can't find it, "We were created for Him and by Him, for His pleasure we are and were created."
Yes.
And like I said, the will of God is for all to be saved. And if all don't get saved, that's not God's fault. He made it possible I heard one preacher say one time, it's like having money in the bank that you don't know that you have. And you're struggling, and you got millions of dollars you don't even know you got. It's not even doing you no good. Well, that's kind of the way this salvation is. It's not benefiting some people because they don't know what they got in Him. I thought it was in Revelation chapter 5. Well, we'll quit chasing that rabbit. But we were created for His pleasure.
Yeah.
And here, it mentions about unto the praise of His glory. You know, He wanted us. The Bible mentioned about for the joy that was set before Him in the book of Hebrews. Says, looking unto Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, that joy, this purchased possession under the praise of His glory, that joy of not only saving me, but presenting me one day in His presence with exceeding joy, the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He finished His work. And He finished the work on me when He redeemed me and sealed me. And I'm His. I am a purchased possession. He paid the price that I could be His. Verse 15, wherefore I also, now this is Paul speaking.
Yeah.
After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And you know, he's making a prayer right here. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, Paul's praying that they might be able to see what they got in Jesus here.
Right.
And also said, I cease not to give thanks for you. And he's wanting them to have it all. You know what? God didn't want to withhold anything from us. The Bible said He won't keep no good thing from us, but freely give us all things from His riches and glory. He says, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? I don't know how Apostle Paul could word this like he did, but it's just loaded. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world, also in that which is to come. You know, Jesus was highly exalted, but He completely surrendered Himself to His Father's will.
Right.
And He raised Him. He said, my Father gave me the power to lay my life down, raise it up again. But when He raised Him from the dead, He set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, like I said, we'll have a place in heaven. Jesus' place was at the right hand of God, far above all principality. That means way above the devil and power and might and dominion and every name it's named, not on this world but in that which is to come, and have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. There's a lot in that first chapter there, the book of Ephesians. I'm just telling you, there's just so much I can't even draw from it. These verses are loaded. But God, not only through His power, subdued sin and Satan, through His Son, giving Himself to the will of His Father, but then He exalted His Son, Christ, to be the head of the church and put all things under His feet. I mean, Jesus, He got all power.
Yes, sir.
And, boy, he's the one that needs to have the power. When Satan had the power, of course, man gave Satan the power. We were slaves to sin. But now we've been set free from sin.
Yeah.
Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And you know, we ought to be holy. You see that, verse 4? Mm-hmm. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And He done all the work. We get all the joy of the work. He sealed us. He's exalted us like He exalted Christ. And in the world that is to come, we'll know more about it. Old song says we'll know more by and by.
Yeah.
We'll know more when we get there.
That's right.
Than what we do down here. But this one chapter, I'm telling you, it's just so loaded. Amen. But we'll stop right there. Ephesians chapter 1. The Lord done a great work. That evening.